Hello and welcome to the Encouraging Angels podcast with Stan Szymanski. I'm your host, Stan Szymanski. Today is Tuesday, May 7th, 2024, and I have an excellent show for you today. Neither Encouraging Angels nor Stan Szymanski nor anyone affiliated with Encouraging Angels is offering any type of advice on this program. We do not offer legal advice. We do not offer medical advice. We do not offer financial advice. We do not offer personal advice of any kind. Please consult a professional in the area of your need or interest, and everything presented here is for informational purposes only. Well, today I am going to share a story with you that is, it's beyond disturbing, really. And in 2024, you wouldn't think that these things happen, but these things have happened throughout history. And not to keep you in suspense, let me read the title. I'll have this up on EA by the time you hear this. Mother, this is from the Daily Mail, which we seem to get a good bit of our news from, by Miriam Cupper, published on May 6th, 2024. Mother throws her disabled 6-year-old son into a crocodile-infested river where he is, quote, mauled to death, unquote, by reptiles after father ordered her to throw the child away in India. A mother has thrown her 6-year-old son into a crocodile-infested river where he has reportedly been mauled to death by reptiles. Savitri Kumar, 26, from Uttara Kannada, a district in the western Indian state of Karnataka, had a heated argument with the boy's father, Ravi Kumar, 27, who reportedly ordered her to, quote, throw the child away, unquote, the Times of India reports. Police say her husband allegedly questioned her decision to give birth to a child with a disability. When the parents fought about their son again on Saturday evening, Savitri was, quote, distressed, unquote, and reportedly threw her son into a waste canal that flows into the Kali River, which is infested with crocodiles. Neighbors who witnessed this called the police, who deployed divers to search for the boy in the water, but to no avail as the darkness hindered their operations. They returned on Sunday morning and found the child's body, which showed bite marks all over. The boy suffered severe injuries and was missing a hand, which a police officer suggested indicated that the boy was mauled to death by one or more crocodiles. There's more to read there. I'll leave that to you. I will have this up on EA by the time you hear this. I think the first thing people would think is, oh, that's over there, you know, for us Americans. Oh, that's over there. That's in India. That's something that maybe they do. My experience, and again, my wife and I take care of our daughter for 8.5 years at an ICU level of care in our home. I did 15 years of music services, delivering music services to the disabled in a couple of different locations. The folks that I knew, there was roughly 50% or less had anyone to come see them. 50% or less had, you know, a known family member as a custodian, as a guardian. From what I know, now I wasn't privy to their relationship with that, but when no one is coming, typically it's going to be the state or the institution who is the decision, the sole decision maker for the disabled, the special needs person. So this story about a mother throwing her disabled six-year-old into a crocodile-infested river where he's mauled to death does not seem that far-fetched to me. Because people range, when they deal with this, it ranges from the person loving the disabled child no matter what, to, for instance, like this father who said, you know, why did you have that baby in the first place? Basically is what he was saying. I'm paraphrasing. And apparently, allegedly, the father ordered her to throw the child away, which is what she did. You know, two bad decisions do not make one good decision. It makes a big mess. It doesn't have to be this way, even though things might not be the way that you dreamt they would be, for instance, like when you got married. If people get married anymore, I'm not sure if they do. If you hear some crunchiness, it's my crunchy raincoat that I've got on because it's the temperature is a bit low here. So I have three things to say about people who are dealing with disability, either as new folks or who have hit maybe a really rough spot. Number one, I want to say that not getting what you want does not have to end in tragedy. So, because you didn't get a kid that looks like he or she, you know, just jumped off the movie screen or out of the Huxtables or what have you, it does not have to end in tragedy. And I'm going to get to my last point, which is about the faith component, but God has a reason, a real reason, why someone is born in a special way. And when you recognize that, you will not look at it as necessarily, oh, woe is me, or as a tragedy, or as something you did wrong. Again, I go back to, if you've been listening to this show for any time, I go back to the Gospel of John chapter 9, and in the first few verses, Jesus and the disciples come upon a blind man. And the first thing they say, and I'm paraphrasing, is that Jesus, who sinned this man or his parents, that he would be born this way? So it's just like it is in the church, believe me, that people start looking for someone to blame, and it's usually the parents. And Jesus said, neither he or his parents sinned, but he was born this way for the glory of God. And then Jesus healed him of blindness. But the disabled are here, in my humble opinion, for the glory of God. I mean, when I would go to work to deliver music services to the disabled, I would look around and I think, my God, I mean, All these people, because you know how many people it takes to take care of somebody with special needs? I looked around at the nurses, at the administrators, at the DSPs, that's the direct service professionals who do most of that work, and me, and thought, my God, I mean, all these people have jobs because of this disabled person, these disabled folks. And God teaches lessons just like the one that Jesus taught the disciples. And in addition to that, that blind man went on to testify about Jesus. And you can read about that in the Gospel of John chapter 9. So not getting what you want, you know, does not have to end in tragedy. It doesn't have to end with a child being mauled to death by reptiles after an inane father orders his wife to throw the child away. My God. I mean, they already had, you know, you're going to be living with, you know, a lot of questions in your mind and everything else if you take care of a special needs child. But then you have to live the rest of your life, however long that might be, by carrying, by basically plotting and carrying out a murder of your own child. That is satanic, in my humble opinion. That's what Satan wants. It's not what Jesus wants. It's not what God wants. Number two, I would say, you know, if one spouse, proposes violence or some tearing apart of the family, tell them to get out. Don't do what he says, like in this case. Don't carry out the execution. That's ridiculous. That is beyond the pale. You need to tell the, in this case, tell the husband to get out. I don't know how she has her support. She might not have any support. She may or may not have skills. But where there is a will, there is a way, in my humble opinion. That if somebody is advocating murder of your child, I think it's you'd be better off without them. That's my humble opinion. I'm not giving anybody personal advice. And number three, to me, it's quite obvious that you must have Jesus Christ in your life. Because people who truly are saved, who are born again, born of the Spirit, who truly abide in Jesus Christ, in his words, in his teachings, in his commands, they're not carrying out the murder of their own sons. Jesus Christ has a plan for your child. You know, when you, I can share this because, you know, I did this, is that when you walk down the street pushing a wheelchair with your own child in it, A, it says that you love your kid enough to take care of them yourself, which a lot of people don't, as I told you at the beginning of this show. Number two, when you do things like even, because this is like what I would do, I would go get, right, take her down into town, because we didn't live in town, take her into town, and I would go for a walk, and when I was done with the walk, you know, I would go to, you know, a coffee shop, like a Starbucks, for instance. And when you're going in there, people will either help you, or they will slam the door in your face. And in my humble opinion, is that God uses that as part of the judgment for the unbeliever when they go to the other side, when they face judgment. People will try to say, I did this and I did that, that was good. And it's like, well, you also did this. You know, and the important thing about having a relationship with Jesus Christ is that Jesus' blood covers all sins. So that when the Father looks at you, all he sees is Jesus. If you are saved, if you have committed your life and, you know, to Jesus. If you made him Lord and Savior of your life. Fortunately, my wife and I had been saved. Probably like 6-7 years before Hannah was born. And then things didn't get bad until she was 2. So, you know, we had probably 8 or 9 years of some, you know, Christian maturing. You may get that and you may not get that, depending. Depending upon the situation that you find yourself in. But going against the laws and the commands of a holy God is not going to turn out well for you. I don't know how this situation in India will turn out, but I cannot imagine. It can only end up in one, you have the death of the child. You probably have the death of the marriage at this point, because how could they look at each other when, you know, the husband gave the order and the wife carried it out? I mean, it is just beyond horrific, beyond. And of course you have the loss of the life of the child who God uses, just like the man who was born blind in John 9, in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. I'm saying this because, and I wanted to do this story, because we now have, because of COVID and because of the jabs, according to Ed Dowd, D-O-W-D, Wall Street analyst, many other things, that he started taking this on once COVID came on. And he's a statistician, etc. The links are up on Encouraging Angels blog, that he has stated that since COVID, like the actuarial numbers, although I'm not going to put words in his mouth, show that there have been 1.1, this is just America, 1.1 million excess deaths. 1.1 million excess deaths. 3.5 million permanent disabilities. And 28 million adverse events. For the dead, there's nothing else we can do except, in my humble opinion, don't listen. You know, if you're not already taking the medical community's recommendations with a grain of salt, I recommend that maybe consider, and this is not personal advice for anybody, you know, going to the store and getting some more salt. We now have 3.5 million more disabled folks. A, it's war on the American people, war on America itself, war against a holy God who grieves to see what has been inflicted on people. But these 3.5 million additional, above what normally happens with disability and death, need Jesus Christ. The families need Jesus Christ. The wife caring for a now disabled husband needs Jesus Christ. The husband caring for his disabled wife, who was disabled by the jab, needs Jesus Christ. The parents who gave the jab to their kids and now have disability in the house need Jesus Christ. The mother who took a vaccination during pregnancy and now has a disabled child needs Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth, fully God and fully man, lived a perfect life that none of us, not you, not me, could ever live. And in doing so as a Hebrew, as a Jew, as an Israelite, fulfilled the law, something no one else could ever do, and proved himself to be perfect, to be the unblemished Lamb of God when he went to the cross and hung and died on a cross for the sins of mankind as a sacrifice, as the only sacrifice acceptable to God the Father for the sins of the whole world. And rising again, he gives us eternal life. For those of us who choose Jesus as Lord, that means he's on the throne of our life, not us, and Savior, that his work, that his sacrifice is fully sufficient for the forgiveness of our sins. And that living our life, that we abide in Christ. We abide by his commands, by his rules, by his teachings. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, to his disciples. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And paraphrasing, if you know the branch falls off the vine and dies, it's good for nothing but to be bundled up and burned. People who fall away from Jesus Christ will burn. That's how serious all this is to me. And why I do a show like this, talking about this horrific action about a mother and father who plotted to throw their disabled child into a sewer-ridden river infested by crocodiles. The world needs Jesus Christ. And I can for sure tell you that anyone dealing with disability needs Jesus Christ. Please consider supporting Encouraging Angels. You can go to our donate page at www.encouragingangels.org. Click on the Donate tab and you can give online with your card via Cornerstone, our great payment processor, or send something to our P.O. box if you appreciate shows just like this and our commitment to music, message, and testimony. With everything going on, like the show I did yesterday, don't forget to take a look at Jack Lawson's book, CivilDefenseManual.com. You won't be sorry. You're going to need that information. This is the Encouraging Angels podcast. I'm Stan Szymanski, and I look forward to seeing you right here next time.